story was once told of a woman who had a garage sale. Everyone here has been to a garage sale and knows that you can find things that are just junk. And a woman had found or had spotted what she thought was a handsome antique copper kettle. It had a price tag of only $2.50. But it was badly tarnished, and she asked the woman that was running the sale if the discoloration would come out. So the woman that was having the sale just cheerfully offered to try some of her copper cleaner. In fact, she took it into her house with the cleaner and was there for quite some time. As she came back out of the house, she reappeared with a gleaming kettle, handed it to the buyer for inspection. It was indeed a more attractive item, and it also had a new price tag. Like me, $10. So that's what we're like this morning, isn't it? Sometimes tarnished, sometimes not very attractive because of the blood. Like me, a brand new price tag. Worth millions, if we could even put a number on there. And we can't. The scripture is plain in that. Almost everything is more valuable once it's been washed and cleaned up, and so it is with us. The Bible tells us that we're stained with sin, Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, each and every one here this morning, in need of that blood that we read about in Hebrews chapter 9. And there's a lot in this chapter, and you'll probably get into more of it in your class this morning. I want to encourage, stick around for class. We have good classes here at Sunset, good teachers that have prepared, spent time looking at this chapter, and please stay and look at this a bit further this morning during our class time. But during our lesson this morning, I want to look at the blood. You know, if we think about blood, we think about our human bodies, don't we? We know what blood is all about. We've bled before, we've cut ourselves, and, you know, a lot of times we don't get excited until we see some blood sometimes. Are you okay? I don't see any blood. You know, you may have heard your mom say that, or you may have said that in the past. The blood is what sometimes gets us excited because we know something's not quite right when we're bleeding due to a cut or a fall or whatever the case might be. Here in Hebrews chapter 9, specifically starting at about verse 11, talks about the blood of Christ. If we would go back to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, I have several scriptures this morning. I want to get through them all, so I want to go ahead, and if you have time to keep up, please do, but please listen this morning. Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Jacob DeHaan once stated in a book, he says, the Bible is a book of blood and a bloody work. When we are accused of preaching the gospel of blood, we proudly plead guilty to the charge, for the only thing that gives life to our teaching and power to the Word of God is the fact that it is the blood which is the very life and power of the gospel. The Bible declares itself to be a living book, the only living book in the world, and it is able to impart life to those who will believe with their hearts what it teaches. The Bible is full of blood. We see that in the Old Covenant. We see that in the New. And that's what is being explained here in Hebrews chapter 9. Those differences. The people were used to blood. They were used to the sacrifices. But the blood that couldn't save, the blood of bulls and goats, now here's a new blood. Blood that is much superior. We'll look next week at the sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice once and for all, as your heading may read if you're looking in the New International Version this morning. That's chapter 10. But this morning we're going to look at the blood. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word quick, simply translated, means living or alive. If you have the King James Version, it uses the word quick. Other versions will talk about being alive. It's a living book. What brings life to the book? The blood that we shed. The blood that we shed for you and me. Each and every one here this morning. It's not just a bunch of words on a page. It's a book that has blood flowing from page to page. Charles Spurgeon once stated, Scripture teaches us that the blood produces life, which life lies in the blood. Blood, therefore, is the mysterious link between matter and spirit. How is it that the soul should in any degree have alliance with matter through blood? We cannot understand, but certain it is that this is the mysterious link which unites these apparently dissimilar things together so that the soul can inhabit the body and the life can rest in the blood. Life resting in the blood. Think about that for just a moment. What brings life to your body? Lots of things. All the components work together. But what is one essential part that flows throughout the entire body? It's the blood. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about the comparisons between the biological blood that we have in our body and spiritual blood that was given for each of us. And this morning I want to spend just a few moments looking at that comparison. I hope you'll follow along and think of these things as we go. There are basically seven functions that the blood does pumping through our body. We have nurses here, we have doctors, we have healthcare professionals that know these things. I sometimes just, you know, it's blood. There it is. But it's doing what it's supposed to do. We don't think anything about it. But the seven functions that the blood does in our body, it transports waste from each cell to organs that excrete them. It also, the red blood cells transport oxygen from respiratory structures or our lungs to the cells of the body. Thirdly, the blood transports nutrients from the digestive system and from storage areas to each cell of our body. Fourthly, the blood transports hormones from endocrine glands to target tissues. Fifthly, the blood helps maintain fluid balance in the body. Number six, the blood helps to distribute metabolic heat within the body and to maintain a normal body temperature. And number seven, the blood, specifically the white blood cells, defends the body against invading microorganisms. I had to refer back to a biology book there. I didn't remember those quite from school, but you've looked at that before. If you've had a biology class, if you've looked at the body, the different things that the blood does, the defenses that the blood gives us, all of the things that are together a part of this body, the blood being such an important and integral part of our life, our physical life. Medical science has given us insight into how life rests in the blood. How do we look at that if we then go to the spiritual aspect? And that's what we want to look at this morning. We want to look at how the blood of Christ fills our life, can fill our life, should fill our life. Many here this morning have started that life, started that walk. Many here this morning have put on Christ through baptism. And if you haven't, you're going to have an opportunity in a few moments if you could take that step. That blood that was shed for you and me. But the blood of the Lamb functions, we're going to look at seven ways that it gives us life and helps us maintain our spiritual life. Revelation chapter 12, the first part of verse 11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then in chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Blood of lambs, seven life functions. Number one, the blood of the Lamb transports the waste from each of our cells, spiritually speaking, and then takes this poisonous waste out of our soul and spirit. This is the first task of the blood of the Lamb as it floods through our spiritual veins. When you put on Christ through baptism, you receive that forgiveness. That waste is eliminated. The bad is put behind. You have a new life, a new lease on life. Many here this morning have taken that step. You always hear the term red, white, and blue. You always hear it in that order. Red, white, and blue. When you're talking about the colors of our nation, the colors of our flag. Not only are the colors of our flag born in heaven, but the order in which they are spoken and sung find its origin and significance in the banner of the cross. We do not say blue, white, and red. We don't name in any other order than red, white, and blue. And this is God's own method of salvation. First, sacrifice, the blood, red, then holiness, becoming white as snow, and then the promise of heaven. Through the blood of the Lamb comes purity, then paradise. Someone once was quoted by saying, morality may keep you out of jail, but it takes the blood of Christ to keep you out of hell. That's what's important. That's what we're here for this morning. That's why we strive to live that faithful Christian life, because of the promise. I think I can safely say each and every one here this morning longs for heaven as that eternal home. That promise, that paradise that comes through the blood. Number two, the blood of the Lamb transports oxygen or the breath of life into our spiritual selves. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. You know, it's interesting, God formed man. First, the physical structure was there, but man did not become a living being until God breathed into man. We have life because of God. God gives us the life that we enjoy here, the physical life, and then much more important, the life we can enjoy throughout eternity. Number three, the blood of the Lamb transports nutrients or food to the spiritual cells in each of us and gives us life. John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. It's through the blood that we gain food to go on and sustain life spiritually, and it comes from God's Word. That's how we grow. That's how we're sustained spiritually. I'm the bread of life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Professor A.J. Carlson did vast studies on hunger back in the early part of the 19th or the 20th century, excuse me. And he concluded that a bird can go for 9 days without food. A man, he said 12 days. We've had men that have gone much longer than that in cases. A dog about 20 days, a turtle 500 days, a snake 800 days, a fish 1,000 days, and insects 1,200 days. Now, I can't verify any of that. I've never talked to any insects that have gone 1,200 days without food. But the point of all of this, he says eventually without nutrients, physical bodies will die. What is it with ourselves? What is it in our spiritual life? Without nutrients, we're going to die. Are you here this morning and dying? Are you here this morning and vanishing away? That's a question that you can answer this morning, a question that you'll be required to answer someday when you stand before God. Hebrews chapter 2, the first four verses, says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. For it is the message spoken by angels that was binding, and every violation and disobedience received it's just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Reading through verse 4. Are you feeding your soul this morning? Number 4. The blood of the Lamb transports hormones to the spiritual body. You know, the term hormone, we talk about hormones. I think everyone knows what that is referred to in our body, the different hormones. But the term itself is derived from a Greek word meaning to excite. Hormones do indeed excite their targeted tissues. The excitement that comes. The blood is the life force that makes you excited about the things of God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21, at that time Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And then in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse 9, it says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Are you excited this morning? Is it showing your life? Someone comes up to you and says, you're a happy person, you're excited. What causes that excitement? You say, I'm a Christian. I have hope. I have an eternal home being prepared for me. What is your excitement this morning? Is it in things of this earth, things that are going to be destroyed, things that are going to fade away? Is your excitement in the blood? Number 5, the blood of the Lamb is that which maintains balance in our spiritual body. We all know the balance beam. We've seen those who can artfully walk across, make it look so easy. but yet it's still hours and hours and hours of practice put into that. But what happens if they start going one way? A little bit further, tilted, and maybe they lose their balance. The thing is, the balance being, you have to be equally spread. Your weight has to be equal. The balance must be there. Balance means a state of equilibrium, equality in amount, stability, harmonious proportion. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Now, this text reveals the importance of balance in our life. Number 6, the blood of the Lamb helps to distribute heat within the spiritual body. It helps to keep a normal body temperature, if you will, even in the midst of storms. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. It's because of the blood that we receive warmth and comfort in troubled times. Let's not forget its flow coming from the Lamb. Can we see comfort this morning? And finally, the blood of the Lamb is what defends us against invading enemies of the spiritual body. Are we ever attacked spiritually? Do we ever feel that we're at war and we need some assistance, some help, some guidance, some strength to maintain? You bet we do. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 7, with His own hands He defended His cause. And you know, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, about the armor of God. And the reason we have God's armor is because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of this blood, we have the protection. We have the strength to endure, the strength to withstand. I didn't ask you to turn much this morning, but do turn back over to Psalm 46. A very, very comforting passage here in this 46th chapter. And as I was reading, I thought, whether I want to take time to read this or just mention, but I want to read this morning and follow along as we begin there in verse 1. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and form and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still. Know that I am God. The blood of the Lamb is our source of spiritual life. Once again, I want to quote a sentence from Charles Spurgeon. Some of his final thoughts on the blood of the Lamb were this: the shedding of blood without which there is no remission. Every drop of blood which flowed out of Jesus' body is still in existence, and it is just as it was 2,000 years ago, wiping away the sins of mankind. The blood has been shed, the incorruptible, eternal, divine, sinless, overcoming, precious blood. It availed then and it avails now, and throughout all eternity, it will never lose its power to bring life. There is power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. How do we see that forgiveness? Through baptism. Through that immersion. And that coming up a new individual, a saved individual, a forgiven individual, ready to begin a new life in Christ. You know, I was studying with a young woman some time back, She's pondering baptism and didn't yet quite know if that's what she wanted to do. We looked at a very simple verse in Scripture. It said, "He who believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not will be condemned." She sat there for a moment, just looked up and said, "Dwight, I don't want to be condemned." I said, "Neither do I." She said, "It's pretty simple, isn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it is. Not much really to that. Such a commitment. Such a wonderful step. But the act is there. It's plain. It's black and white. We receive our salvation from God through baptism." You can have that this morning. You can tap into that power this morning. You have the opportunity. We won't always have that opportunity. We won't always have a chance to do that. Many of you here this morning have taken that step, and bless you for doing that. Continue in your Christian walk. And maybe some here this morning that is a Christian have erred, have failed in some way. You can be forgiven this morning through the blood. I simply going to God and asking Him for forgiveness, help in your Christian walk. If we can serve you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?